and cut. Dissects my face as I open the door. I remember now, standing in the rain. Dark clouds moving forever in my arms. I remember now, standing in the rain. Dark clouds moving forever in my arms. I remember now, standing in the rain. Dark clouds moving forever in my arms. I remember now, standing in the
Children of the Night. What beautiful music they make. So this is one of these kind of things with me where, just hearing that just reminds me of mixtapes. Now, the whole thing, that was one of the best parts of courtship is making a gal a mixtape. I'm obsessed with goth gals. Okay, I didn't like the punk rock gals. I like the new wave and the goth gals. And I remember, like, the ultimate thing is, like, you make these mixtapes of these songs to try and get them to like you. That's kind of that's the whole thing with it. It's so much more personal than I got you some roses and some candy. No, I made the mixtape, and I really watched my handwriting, you know. Maybe I even typewrited it out, you know, so because my handwriting is pretty atrocious. So I probably typed on a little cassette insert. Like I tried to cram all the information down and not make any mistakes because, you know, whiteout looks kind of bad. You know, it looks like you just can't type well. So I remember making these, you know, date a gal and I would say, okay, we had one date. You know, I got a little something you should listen to. You got some music. So it was really great. Music was such a great in to show your personality or just to show, hey, listen to this. I hope you think I'm cool. I hope you think I'm cool. You know? More often than not, no, it did not work. But boy, did I have fun making the mixtapes for the goth girls. Speaking of how I find music, I don't even know how I was speaking about how I find music. I was talking about making mixtapes for goth girls. But my friend Gary kept saying, you got to listen to this band called the Los Marauders. I'm like, okay. And I think he even had it on cassette, speaking of cassettes. And he goes, I think you should listen to Los Marauders. No, I think it was probably, I think it was on cassette, but I put it on CD for me. And he goes, you got to listen to this band called Los Marauders. I'm like, all right, I'll listen to Los Marauders. And I kind of stuck it aside, never listened to it. Then, about 2 months later, I said, hey, I wonder what the Los Marauders sounds like. Why is he so excited about this band? I play it and boom. Absolutely insane, wonderful music. And I'll have to watch the dump button on there because sometimes he'll slip a dirty word in. But I think this one's clean. It's called Wicked Beat. And this band, I think they were out of Iowa, and they were off the charts nuts and entertaining. And you know I like off the charts nuts. I'm an off the charts nuts kind of guy. This is Wicked Beat by Los Marauders. Zombo in your brain, WRCT Pittsburgh.
Yeah!
Yeah, Harry. Wow. Very intense. The lead singer's name was Nobody. And he just, I believe he just passed away about a year or two ago. But man, Nobody really knew how to do it. So here's Somebody. This dude actually made it to the top of like a country music royalty. And but every now and then he'd do something. So the story behind this song is that they had to change the name of it because well, you'll hear it. Hanna-Barbera wasn't too happy about this George Jones tune.
Last night I broke the seal on a Jim Beam decanter that looks like Elvis. I soaked the label off a Flintstone jelly bean jar. I cleared us off a place on that one little table that you left us, and pull me up a big old piece of floor. I pull the head off Elvis, fill Fred up to his pelvis. Yabba dabba doo, the king is gone, and so are you. Round about 10 we all got to talking about Graceland, Bedrock and such. The conversation finally turned to women, but they said they didn't get around too much. Elvis said, find them young, and Fred said, old-fashioned girls are fun. Dabba dabba doo, the king is gone, and so are you. Later on, it finally hit me that you wouldn't be a coming home no more. Cause this time I know you won't forgive me, like all of them other times before. Then I broke Elvis's nose, pouring the last drop from his toe. Yabba dabba doo, the king is gone, and so are you. Yabba dabba doo, the king is gone, and so are you. Last night I broke the seal on a Jim Beam decanter that looks like Elvis. I soaked the label off a Flintstone jelly bean jar. Thank you.
That is when 15 cents could buy you a hell of a record. And that's why that was actually David S. Trio and doing Devil's Daughter. And you say, oh, a title like that. And it's like, oh, it's only a dime. I'll buy that. Those days, once again, like making mixtapes for the goth chicks, it's gone. That's why I do not bother with vinyl anymore, because it's all a ripoff now. I could go, I had a secret thrift store. I had this was really wonderful. It was a secret thrift store that nobody knew about in like really the worst part of Ohio. And I remember going there, and it wasn't even marked. There was not even a sign there. It was an old bread factory. And it was several floors, and it was just stuff. And I believe they were part of like the Veterans of America or whatever. And this was obviously mid-90s, so a chunk of time ago. And I would go there, and if they liked you, you could walk up to the and a lot of the stuff was kind of like thrown in bins, and nothing was organized. You just spent your time looking through stuff, and you could come to this. You could go there and have like a big stack of records, big stack of 45s, some like giant old ties from like the 1970s, some cool stuff from the 1960s there too. You could find tiki mugs there for like, you know, 15, 25 cents, and you'd bring all this, and nothing was marked. I remember that. They put the price. If they liked you, they'd give you a low price. If you were nice to them, you could almost get it for nothing. So I remember coming up there with all these, like, you know, records and kitschy tiki stuff. And men, they didn't have, like, the men's clothes were stinky. So that's the thing. The place, there's a certain place in there. I think one of those, there really wasn't a bathroom there. So I think like on the third floor, part of the floor was missing and it smelled like pee. So I think they would go up there and take a whiz on the third floor. And that's usually where they had the toaster ovens and some of the other stuff that I really wasn't that interested in. But you bring it up there and the guy goes, oh, that stuff, I don't know, $5? That was worth it. That was exciting. Now it's like, oh, let's go to a vinyl show. Ooh, that's a cool record. What is that? That's $25? $25? $25? I'd spend a dime for that. That is why I am like anti-vinyl now. Because right now it's all money and elitism. You know, when I was collecting vinyl, you could just pick up anything for nothing. And it was always the weirder, the cheaper. You know? You know, sure, you might run it. You might see like 10,000 Frampton Comes Alive albums, a whole bunch of Santana Era Barracks album, the one that has the lions on the thing. You see that. You see Whipped Cream and Other Delights, the Herb Albert album. You would see those are like, you would see the same things. But then again, you'd find all this weird stuff. You find like weird 45s and odd records and, you know, And then you just take it home, and that was your discovery. That was your learning and discovering. That was your hunter and collector. Now it's kind of like, oh, nuts and berries? Yeah, I got some nuts and berries here. It's $80 for this little thing of nuts and $45 for this little thing of berries. Before, you could just go find them yourself and get them for practically nothing. Oh, the book says that this record's worth... The book! Screw the book. The book says this record in VFG condition is, that takes all the fun out of record collecting and just makes it elitism. All right, I'm done. All right, so other things I find are from weird compilations, like this little nutty nugget from Jerry Ganahan, who's, I think this guy was from this pretty popular, oh man, that I love this song. He was in a band called Dickie Doin' the Don'ts. And they did a great song called Nee Nee Na 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 Nunu, which was originally done by Jonathan Winters. And then Bad Manners made a really good ska version of it. If I get some time later today, I will play that. But he did a bunch of different stuff. He was a funny dude. And this is one of his novelty tunes, Jerry Granahan, Too Big for Her Bikini, Zombo in Your Brain, WRCT, Pittsburgh.
She's gotten to. She dreamed about the summer to come. Uh-huh. chocolates and fudge. She lost the battle of temptation, and now she's lost the battle of the bulge, 'cause she's gotten too big.
Too big.
Too big for her bikini. Too big.
Too big.
Too big for her bikini. Needs a lot
of polka dots
to cover what she's got. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Tragedy.
Well, now her pretty eyes are filling with tears. And her heart is just about to break. Around her that soup will never, never reach. She has lost her shape to chocolate cake, 'cause she's gotten too big.
Too big.
Too big for her bikini. Too big.
Too big.
Too big for her bikini. Needs a lot of polka dots to cover what she's got. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tragedy. She's a gotten too.
Nice little new tune there from a band called The Desolate Coast. And that was Time Slips Away. It is always nice to find something new. Find something new and play it for you. Before that, we heard Jerry Granahan doing Too Big for a Bikini. And I got to tell you about Pinckney Hall with the one, the only, Mr. Kenny Jope. Tune in and you'll hear tender little ditties that will lighten the heart, sharpen the mind, and embolden the spirit. And that is so true. Fridays 9 to 10 on this here station, WRCT. And his show next Friday is going to be like all Dylan stuff, all Dylan-inspired songs, songs Dylan wrote, songs. It should be a little Dylan tribute. No, Bob Dylan didn't die, okay? I think it's probably his birthday or something, all right? Just letting you know, because, oh, there's a tribute. Whenever I see somebody's picture come up, like, uh-oh, or heaven forbid, I tune on the radio and I hear like, wow, that's really cool. They're playing a Bo Diddley tune. Oh, Bo Diddley's dead. Oh, they're playing a Bo, you know, that kind of thing. Or say, hey, look, there's a picture of, they're dead. So I like I'm saying, I just happen to like a lot of dead people music. I like a lot of live people. I like playing music while people are alive. I do like that too. But, you know, man, them dead people, they put out some great stuff. A minute pause, almost insignificant space, a minute pause, 60 seconds of space, get it straight, with the one and only Sean Watson. Minute pause, Tuesdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on WRCT. Yes, sir, love me some Sean Watson. So we're a goofy bunch here. And there was a movie that was out a while ago called, I think it was called Pirate Radio. And it was kind of neat because you saw a little bit of everybody of these, like these DJs here. Oh, this guy's like this guy. This guy's. It's kind of like WKRP in Cincinnati. I'm probably the Les Nessman of the bunch. Okay. I'm not the Les Nessman. I wish I was the Venus Flytrap or the Johnny Fever. But I'm pretty much the, maybe I'm more like the Herb Tarlick. I think I'm the Herb Tarlick. That's closer to that. So it's always nice to get a hold of some new music. And there's a new Monochrome Set album. This band's been putting out stuff since the 70s. A fun, very lighthearted, whimsical, I guess you could call them like a new wave band, but not sort of, kind of. This is from their new album. And the name of the tune is called All Hallows Tide. And you're listening to Zombo right here. And do not worry. You think, oh my gosh, I just tuned into Zombo. Now he's only got a half hour because most of my audience does not get up till noon. Today, it is a Zombathon. I'm here till 5 o'clock today. 5 of the clock. 5 o'clock. And, wow, I'm doing pretty good. I have 40 tunes still to go as far as till I'm all caught up. And then I'm just going to have at it with whatever. Or for, like, I don't even know who's listening. But for the disinteresting, I just may go home. That's the beauty of this. That's the beauty of doing this. It's not like a job or a gig. You can come in here. I was like, oh, okay, I'll stick around till 5 o'clock. Or it's like, you know what? Nobody cares. I'm going to go have me a cream cheese bagel and go to bed. Take a nap. Get up. Actually, I got the concert calendar coming up. How crazy is that? I want to do the concert calendar. My old show there's the show called Zombo. I got a phone call now to stay on the radio. Great. Great. Or somebody from the FCC, or it could be someone from Google. Okay. Have you ever surprised? Is your car warranty? Anyhow, here's All Hallows Tide by Monochrome Set. Zombo in your brain. And they hung up as soon as I answered the phone, so that just goes to show.
Follow me to the den of the tamer. Reckon with torn out blood will slip. Life dies crimson ahead. All hallowed tide, where we will be perfect in. Thank you.
That mighty power solo, a really wonderful duo from Denmark. And they really know how to make some twisted, wonderful little rockin' numbers. I don't even know what this nonsense is at the end of that song, but I guess they forgot to turn the tape machine off. This next tune is by a gal, Pearl Harbor. And she had a band called Pearl Harbor and the Explosions. And really good, you know, 80s band. This is King Tut's tune. I found like another little like rare little flip side 45 of her stuff. Interesting thing about this gal is that she used to date Mick Jones from The Clash. And I guess they had, she actually opened some shows for The Clash too. There you go with that. But the song, Should I Stay or Should I Go, actually written about her. That's right. They had a fairly rocky relationship. And this is the gal that she wrote the song, that he wrote the song about. This is King Tut's Tomb. And then after this, I'm going to take a break from my music purge and we're going to get a little snack. I was basically put myself to the challenge of finding songs about bagels. And I found three really good bagel tunes. So we're going to do that in a bit. Interesting. I'm not going to ruin any surprises. We're going to get into King Tut's Tomb, Pearl Harbor, Zombo in Your Brain.
Well, there's a rock and roll band in King Tut's Tomb. As I found my way through the dark and the gloom. Show by playing Spy versus Spy. There's a rock and roll band in King Tut's Tomb. As I found my way through the dark and the gloom, drinking spiders, sporting, loading, eating cobweb pie.
skin from staying out of the sun. There's a rock and roll band that King does too. As a band, my way through the dark and the blue. Drinking spikes, 40 or eating coffee pie. They'll be playing forever cause they already died. Times more. There's a rock and roll band in King Tut's tomb. 5,000 years of playing and they ain't out of tune. Drinking spider, sporty, or eating cobweb pie. They'll be playing forever cause they already died.
The Vivacious, Groovy Cool, Pearl Harbor doing King Tut's Tomb, Zombo in Your Brain, and gosh, I like how some things like this happen. I just happened to mention that, you know, I just had to really, you know, go and get bagel. And then I started to go, hey, what bagels you like? I'm like, oh, this is interesting. So then I'm thinking, you know what, let's do some bagel tunes. And of course, right off the bat, Mickey Katz, one of my favorite Yiddish music comedians of all time. This is really kind of cool. I get to meet his granddaughter in August. His granddaughter, Mickey Katz's granddaughter, is Jennifer Grey, who is in Dirty Dancing. And her father, Jennifer Grey's father, is Joel Grey. So I get to interview. What I do is I do Steel City Con. I do that 3 times a year. And in August, Jennifer Grey is going to be there, and I can't wait to ask her about Mickey. I'm sure it's going to come out of nowhere. Someone's going to say, well, I'd like to ask you about Dirty Dancing, what Patrick Swayze was. I'm going to say, hey, what was Mickey Katz like, your grandfather? What was he like? And he was funny. He was with Spike Jones for a while, so that's kind of neat. So here's Mickey Katz with Bagel Call Rag. Going to do a couple bagel tunes.
Mops, break the cup, hoo-ha, and raise my chat. Have some lox with cream cheese. Here comes Mendel with a bagel called Rag. That was Klezmer Manny Klein with a hey nanny nanny and a haka rhyme. Now we're cooking the hall with gas. Come shame bear, play Yiddish jazz. Agazinder and Pippic Barrel Gill, you scripper like a genius, such gefil. Here comes a little hebop, zets. Barcha boy, it's me, Kep Katz. Boom, be the boom, 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 boom. itchy, fitchy, 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 Now, folks, you know that this bagel call, that's strictly playing for a gag. Beat it out, Sammy Weiss. Let's hear the bugle call rag.
In the good store, good choice. And Lord, you should have seen us. Henry had a hen, a horn bed, sucking Benny's rigid penis all night long.
Yes, you can't go wrong with Slim Galliard doing Dunkin' Bagel. And before that, Mickey Katz doing Bagel Call Rag. And the interesting thing is about how I remember the first time we brought bagels home. And I was probably, my father, well, the first thing out of his mouth was just like, these are the worst donuts I've ever had. And I wish I was a gag. But yeah, that and when we brought Mexican food home for the first time. Yeah, my folks just, I don't know. They were an interesting bunch of folks. Yes, sir. It explains a lot. Explains. So this is interesting. So you would think, okay, my parents had, must have really been big music lovers. They were not. We had two records in our, my parents had two records. This is not a gag. My mother had Dean Martin's Greatest Hits, and my father had Hank Williams' Greatest Hits. So that was it for my parents. That's the only thing. My brothers and sisters, that's a completely different story. My brother brought in all the British invasion, all the avant-garde stuff, all of the rock and roll stuff, all the crazy, and then some even jazz things, you know, from that way, you know. And then my sister brought in like all the soul stuff, all the James Brown stuff, all the Motown stuff. So I had those both coming at me. And it was interesting. Out of our house, even though like brother and sister were very much in the music, parents not so much, out of all of that, and I'm talking a pretty amazing amount of music that I got to pilfer, you know, I got to weed through and enjoy for nothing. I enjoyed music for nothing at a very early age. Ruined a lot of good records. But one thing we did not have in our house, everybody in our house hated Elvis Presley. I don't understand. My dad didn't like him. My mother didn't like him. My brother and sister hated him. But I ended up, you know, saying, hey, this Elvis guy ain't so bad. And, like, I get a kick out of Elvis. You know, and I do. I think, as far as, like, you know, king of this and king of that, I don't know. I mean, it's nice. But I'm not really much in. Who's your favorite? Or who's the best? Like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will break your heart over and over and over again. Like Devo. Devo, oh, we're going to get you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Oh, no, you're not. This time we're going to put in Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton, she didn't even want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I don't remember any Dolly Parton rock records. I don't even think Dolly Parton even did any rockabilly. I don't think so. You know, it's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If they want to, I don't mind. If they just change it and call it the Music Hall of Fame, that would make a lot of sense. But calling it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I'm afraid that's not what it is. It really is not. And it shouldn't even be in Cleveland. The only reason, you know the reason why it's in Cleveland? This is really interesting. So when they had, no, it's not really interesting. It's something. So what they did is they had a nationwide contest of where they should have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And it was the choices were like, I think like New York. There was nothing on the West. It was nothing on the West Coast. It was either New York City because of, you know, all the Brill Building, all the music of New York City, New York City for crying out loud. Memphis. Of course, back to the Elvis thing. Cleveland, because that's quote-unquote where Alan Freed came up with the term rock and roll. And I think like it might have been like Philadelphia because of American Bandstand. So there might have been some other ones. But there was a magazine, like it was kind of like their city paper, called Scene Magazine out of Cleveland. And what Scene Magazine did was brilliant. So what they did is they in each issue they would say, "Hey, listen, vote for Cleveland for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Just cut this out and mail it to this address." And what they did is they stuffed the ballot box. People were voting 10, 20, 30 times because I don't think you had to really even put your name on these on this request or this ballot to get in the rock to have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in your city. All the other cities just kind of like, okay, we'll vote. Well, with Cleveland, they actually cheated, stuffed the ballot box with all this Cleveland stuff. So all of a sudden, Cleveland comes up with the most votes. So how do they get around that? They go, well, you know what? We'll kind of have it in Cleveland, but we'll do all the stuff in New York. So the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should not be in Cleveland by any stretch of the imagination. What great bands have came out of Cleveland? Okay, I'm not talking about like Akron or Kent, because out of that area, came, you know, the Pretenders, Devo, Per Ubu. I think Per Ubu, yeah, Per Ubu. Was Per Ubu out of Cleveland? Yeah, Per Ubu might have been out of Cleveland. But all of those bands were like more like Akron and Kent bands. But if you look at like what were the big bands in Cleveland? Well, let me see here. There was Michael Stanley Band. I mean, Michael Stanley was just a poor man's Don the Iris. That's all Michael Stanley was, just a poor man's Don the Iris. And who else came out of Cleveland? I'm sure Paul in the beer truck is going to call and he says, oh, the Raspberries, please. You know, they have one good song, is it Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Is it Rock and Roll Hall of Fame territory? I mean, no really great earth-shattering bands came out of, if anything, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should be in London. It should be in Britain. That's where, like, you know, the people that really understood American rock and roll really made it happen. You know, Beatles, Rolling Stones, Animals. I mean, you come into the U.S., maybe you might get, like, the Bob Brummels. You know, you might get, and then the most overrated band of all time, MC5. What is with this MC5 business? They were just in town. Oh, the MC5? Really? Yeah, that's a bunch of phooey. Let's get back into some music. What do you say, kids? So now I gave you, that's why I'm on the air till 5 o'clock today. It's those little nuggets of nonsense around the music that make this one of the most twisted radio shows out there. And I like that. This is Lindsay Goes to Mykonos. Now, I played this band earlier today, but I like two of their songs off their new album, Los Bichos, a female Mexican surf band. And this is Lindsay Goes to Mykonos. You listen to Zombo right here in your brain, WRCT Pittsburgh.
Bye.
Oh, man. Nice to revisit that. That is Huevos Rancheros. Really, really super wonderful surf band out of, I think they're out of Toronto or Calgary. From Canada, nonetheless. Huevos Rancheros, that was the girl from the Yamo. And just a fun band. Always love the surf music out of Canada. Huevos Rancheros, Shadowy Man on the Shadowy Planet, and Mark Brody. All this great surf coming out of Canada. That's sadly from probably like pre-2000.
Really?
So I'm going to get to the concert calendar in just a bit. But before I do, I have one more thing to say about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Okay, and a lot of people are upset, like some people that are very, like Devo's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but Jethro Tull, King Crimson, bands that should be in the Hall of Fame aren't in the Hall of Fame. They're just ignored over and over again. The one main thing that bugs me more than anything is that Link Wray, the guy that invented the big, heavy power chord guitar, is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That, to me, is the ultimate insult. Rumble on the Docks, Link Wray, Zombo in Your Brain. Concert calendar right after this wonderful noise. We'll be right back. That's that. Link Wray, Rumble on the Docks, from his last record, Shadow Man. And, yeah, not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And also, gee, Dick Dale is also not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So I would like to have the Zombo Real Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And who is in the Zombo Real Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? You know, I try not to be a snob, so I say everybody that has ever picked up a guitar, drum, bass, did rock and roll, should be in the Hall of Fame, except for REO Speedwagon. Every band, every performer, except REO Speedwagon. All right, now it is time for the WRCT concert calendar. Oh, do I miss saying this? Time to show you what's shaking, Menachem Bacon, in the city of Pittsburgh. All right, the Banjo Club. Oh, my God, it's been decades since I've done the concert calendar. Stop by the Pittsburgh Banjo Club. Now, that is Allegheny Elks Lodge, 339 400 Cedar Avenue, right on that north side, every Wednesday at 8 o'clock. And check out the Banjo Club, their regular rehearsal every Wednesday for their wonderful music, food, refreshments. It is a real Pittsburgh experience. Founded in 1988, the Banjo Club is all-volunteer organization that uses banjos, surprise, trumpets, tuba, and bass to perform a popular music of the 20s and 30s and some other stuff. They might tip into the 40s if they're adventurous. Maybe they might tip into the 40s. The Banjo Club rehearses there, and if you want to call them, go ahead. It's usually pretty dang on busy. 412-321-1834 for the reservations. Let's see what's going on in the music calendar. And I know one thing, and that is next Friday, not this coming Friday, but the week from today, the Polka Maniacs will be playing at the legendary Kohler Club, which is a great, great legendary Slavic club.